day, boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, ships at sea and ships on the rocks, and good God, I don't know, everybody everywhere. This is the Area Fishing Report from Radio Fishing. Fishing Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across me. We're going to try and make a few phone calls, see what's going on out there in the world, if we can. So, you can follow along on the place-by-place fishing report. We start with the Peace River and then just follow the page right on down. So if you're looking at this, just open up new page, or, you know, click the extra thing over, and then you can just go along. You can see some of the places we're talking about. And any of the names on the place-by-place fishing report, if you click them, it opens up, shows you where it is. Then there's a Google thing to go along with that. And keep in mind, we have the Fish and Frank store here at 4425 Tamiami, the real experience store. And I don't remember what the address in the Fort Myers store, but it's in the Engman Marine Boat Dealership. I had it written down somewhere. I guess I don't carry that anymore. So if I go down there, I will get lost. I won't be able to find the store.
It's North Cleveland Avenue, that much I know.
Yeah, it's like 154 something or another, North Cleveland Avenue. I don't know, whatever it is. But it's about three blocks south of Pine Island Road. It's on the same major 41 Cleveland Avenue. It's on the new 41 Cleveland Avenue. And three blocks south of Pine Island Road and in the Engman Marine Boat Dealership. Oh, yay! They actually got a pretty cool boat down there. It's called a Seaborn, S-E-A-B-O-R-N.
Mm-hmm.
Great hull.
Does it?
Yeah, it's a really neat looking hull, and they're so new, they're not super expensive yet. Nothing's inexpensive.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Comparatively, so.
Right.
I was pretty impressed with it, and one of the guys, when we were first opening up down there, a guy came in, he bought one. He comes in here all the time. He actually lives in Port Charlotte, went down there to North Fort Myers, bought the boat at that dealership, and I've talked to him twice. He says he really likes it.
Yeah.
It, what do they call that, a stepped hull, where it's got the notches in it and all
that?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, it gives you, you know, as you bring that nose up, you get that little cavitation, creates like a bubble layer between you and the water, and allows you a little more speed, you know, without increasing the throttle. You can actually back down on your throttle and maintain a higher speed.
Nice.
It's pretty cool stuff. I like it.
That's cool.
So, I don't know. I don't know much about the boats. I don't know if they're great boats, mediocre boats, if they're put together well or not. I like the hull design. That's as much as I can tell you for now. But
right.
Really interesting hull design. And the price, it was $10,000 or $20,000 less than
some of the other brands.
Yeah, it was considerably less. I remember hearing that going, really? So anyway, that's at the North Fort Myers store. You can go down there, and Jeff's down there, and Greg's down there, and Vinny's down there, and I can't remember who all works down there. We're giving up part of our shifts here and going down there for part of our shifts. So anyway, Peace River Systems on the Area Fishing Report is where we're at. We've got some snook up by Harbor Heights, and
there's been even a few redfish right there.
The dam
along the the house docks right there, heading from your canal.
Cross straight over to Punta Gorda, or
no, your side.
Oh, really?
Going over towards, what is that, Whidden?
Right, Whidden Bay.
Yeah, where the boat ramp is at. And then there's been some jacks hanging out over on the Punta Gorda side, along all those homes and docks.
Okay.
And then I've heard of a few oddball tarpon, snook, and some snapper up there. Around the trestle there at Shell Creek. Kind of a mixed barrage of stuff. It's just still not gangbusters. That cold front really did a number on the water temperature, but boy, 7 days later, 10 days later, we're back up to 70 to 74 degrees on the flats compared to what it was a little over a week ago.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the whole water thing. A little bit of red tide to report out around the Gulf, believe it or not.
There is?
Yeah, there's some red tide. Most of it's north of us, but chances are we'll get another hit here pretty soon.
Great.
I need to open up our website. Let me look and see if we have anything coming down the Peace River. Fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, and then go to the bottom of the page, click the Peace River button. It's a pretty good indicator for all of the rivers, because if if the Peace River's not flowing, none of them have water.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably bone dry.
No, 1.5. So, yeah, there's no water coming down.
Yeah.
127 cubic feet. That's nothing. In 1998, this time was the max. It was 3,410 cubic feet a second.
That was that El Nino year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it's actually less than normal. The normal is between 300 and 500 cubic feet a second. But at 1.5 up in Arcadia, no, there's no water coming down at us. I don't know. Are we supposed to get any rain?
There's a little front coming through on Saturday, I think.
I think the
rain isn't supposed to be here until Sunday or Monday, if I remember right. But
yeah,
that was at 4:30 this morning
right
at the Weather Channel.
On the weather page, I could have possibly looked. Saturday, chance of thunderstorms and windy. Everything's pretty clear till then. And slight chance Saturday night of storms. Showers likely on Sunday. And likely, all the way to Monday, we've got, so there might be a chance of bringing that river up. We need that river to start flowing again, because that's our protection against the red tide for the upper harbor. All right, down by the 41 bridge, what are we looking at?
Well, down by the 41 bridge, I've been starting to pick up a few more whiting. That power pole park, I guess there's been some sailboats parking kind of exceptionally close to some of the guys fishing from shore.
I just drove by there, and some idiot's got their sailboat parked. It's almost up on the rocks. I have no idea what the hell they're parking a sailboat there.
How do they get away with that?
It's legal.
To park right up against, like, the park like that?
Yeah, there's no law against where you anchor your boat over there, but it has to be moved. I forget if it's 2 weeks or a month. I forget if it's 15 days or 30 days, the boat has to be moved. Otherwise, it's a vagrant boat or whatever they
right.
say. You know, but if it's not moved every 30 days, 15 or 30 days, I forget which one it is, it does have to be moved or they can call a derelict vessel.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know they've been trying to get a hold of some of those boats out there because they've been having some issues and complaints.
Yeah, well, enough people throw sinkers at it. Chip up that gel coat a little bit, he'll actually move the boat
a little further
out,
right?
You know, and I wouldn't do it myself, but I know those guys who fish down there. That guy's a nutcase. I mean, boats are expensive, and that thing's gonna be all dinged and chunked up. I mean,
right,
why do you have to put it for 30-40 feet? I mean, not even a full cast away from the shore.
Wow.
Yeah, that was stupid. That's really stupid on his part. Oh, I can do this because I'm allowed to. Yes, you're allowed
yes, you
to,
can.
But should you? Probably not. You know, I mean, you do have to. I see so many people nowadays, and they have such a sense of, I'm entitled to do this. But you don't live on the planet by yourself. When I do something, I come up to this traffic light, and if I know I'm going to be sitting at the light and I got to go straight, I get in the straight lane. I don't sit in the turn lane until the light changes green because everybody else could turn and go through.
Right.
You know, I try to get over in the other lane because I'm going to wait for the light. I don't have to block traffic the whole time. If we all did just a little bit of that every once in a while, if this guy would have done a little bit of that, he wouldn't have dings and chunks missing out of his boat. Because somebody will. Because they're going to make them mad. They'll just tie on a big sinker and use it for target practice. All right, starting to pick up some whiting down there at the 41 Bridge. What else is going on? I've heard of some pompano, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm more on the harbor side, closer to Port Charlotte, right along that drop-off edge.
Right along that big sandbar flat.
There was some pompano cruising along there. Only one guy was mentioning it. I'm sure if there's some fish there, they're probably over on the Punta Gorda side closer to Gilcrest Park, but you never know.
Right.
Any redfish been going down there by the park?
No, I haven't heard of any redfish
black
at all.
Drum.
Oddball black drum, a few little peanut snook, and then there's been some mangrove snapper for the boat fishermen that are kind of working the pilings real heavy with an incidental sheep's head. Not any great numbers, but fishable, you know. A lot of these guys this time of year don't want to travel very far, so if they're willing to be patient and move from one piling set to another, they'll find some fish.
Yeah, if you're just a little patient there, you can do pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Lashley Pier. That's got to be you because I got nothing.
I've got nothing either, to be honest with you. I've had a couple guys go down there to check it out and see who's been catching what, but I have not had anyone come in to tell me they're doing anything.
All right. Yeah, I could always place by place. So.
I could always guess, but
no.
I'd rather
Bayshore,
be honest.
You heard anything?
Bayshore's had a couple whiting there. One guy hooked a cobia, did not land it. He figured it was probably short anyway, so it looked a little on the smaller side. And then there's been a couple guys that have caught a couple of redfish that have been kayak fishing right around that immediate area on, you know, right there putting in between the two piers. There's like a little little launch there. And they said they've been putting in there and catching an oddball redfish here and there out on those flats.
Yeah, I used to fish that flat all the time. I used to catch redfish and snook on that flat all the time. A little 8-foot boat, I'd slide in, go fishing along that shoreline in the evenings.
Yeah.
Caught all kinds of fish there.
You used to catch a lot there when there was more grass there.
Yeah. Well, this year, if the drought hangs in there and the way it's going, we'll start to see a lot of grass here. Let's see, this is January, February, March. March to April, if the drought hangs in there, March or April, you're going to see grass sprouting up all over the place. The grass sits down there kind of dormant. A lot of it dies off. But once a little bit of it starts, it just starts going and going and going. And it knows it has a very limited time. I'm going to get this little window to grow like crazy and see if I can't propagate.
Right.
You know, everything wants to live. Everything wants to, you know, go through there. And we saw it. Remember that two-year drought we had a while back?
Yeah.
The whole bottom of the harbor covered up with grass.
Yeah.
The boats aren't the problem. Everything else, it's literally a matter of how much runoff you get, because the ditches and creeks and everything dump into that river, and we're right at the end of all that. And so we get all that silt and muck. It's, you know, all that nasty stuff. If the light can't get to the bottom, no sunlight, no photosynthesis, no plants.
Right.
Simple as it is. Why they don't make all the ditches like the ones on Kings Highway? Along the interstate, I don't get it. We have all this technology, and they have the space allotted. They could make these ditches, you know, with deep areas, shallow with the grass, and then, you know, pipes, and it would be good for fish. It'd be good for the environment. Everything would work, but it costs a little more. Our government, well, hopefully not now, but the government has been known for, you know, they dump so much money on stupid garbage when we could be, you know, just putting the money to good use. If we're going to pee it all away, let's at least make it worthwhile. Okay, Port Charlotte canals, I'm done ranting.
There's been quite a few little jacks coming through there in that 3 to 5 pound range. There's also at the mouths of the canals, there's been a few trout, a few sheep's head. And then I've heard of not very many mangrove snapper, but they've actually been better quality mangrove snapper. I've heard of some like 15, 16-inch mangroves being caught, which anything over 12 inches inshore is pretty darn impressive. But you start hitting that teen size, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and they've all been catching them on shrimp mostly. A couple guys have been bouncing some soft plastics, working them real slow right at the mouths and just some of the docks and stuff. But most all of it's being caught on shrimp.
All right, well, let's skip over to Eljo Bean. Eljo Bean.
Eljo Bean's
the winter home of the circus.
Right. The
well, it was granted 100 years ago, but, you know, still
right.
What?
The right there around the off the pier and underneath the bridge embankments there, they have been starting to catch a few more sheep's head with a little bit of consistency. Most of the trout that are being caught off of there have been on the smaller side. And then in the evening, it seems like there's been a few bigger trout with a lot less numbers, but a little bit better size, mixed in with a couple catch-and-release snook. People are seeing black drum and hearing the black drum, but nobody's really catching them. So, you know, it's been kind of a good mixed barrage of stuff down there. It's just not anything gangbusters. But it would definitely be one of my better bets for this end of the harbor, especially if I was land-based fishing.
Yeah. All right. I haven't heard much from Tippy Canoe or, you know, anywhere up there. Anything going on in Micro River?
Not really. It's actually been pretty quiet. I think because the weather's been so blooming beautiful this week. I think everybody's running.
I'm going to call there's a lot of fish there, but everybody's running south.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah, I think there's I'm sure there's the snook and redfish got to be in there because they were in there good a couple weeks ago. But, you know, with as beautiful as that weather's been, and a lot of guys have been hitting the passes and heading offshore, so they're trying to take advantage of those beautiful days rather than those typical winter day and where you do run and hide in the cutoff. You know, I would probably do the same thing if it was me.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I wait till summertime to go out there because now I know I can catch fish up here. I don't want to spend the gas. Speaking of which, we get down to fishing port. Maybe we'll go out and see if you're going to go home and just take me a minute, pressure clean the boat out, swap the batteries. That way, if you're with me, you can help paddle back if it doesn't run again. No, I'm putting a trolling motor in. I'm definitely putting the trolling
motor
in.
Right, I'm not in the mood to paddle with my mouth hurting. You know, I'm not going to be bouncing around as long as it's nice, no problem.
You had a tooth pulled. I had a needle stuck through my eardrum. So it's one of those days. You know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, South Gulf Cove.
Crickets. The only thing, I've had a couple of guys actually buy some worms to go fishing for the panfish and the tilapia back in there, but nobody's come back to tell me how great they did. So I have no real good accurate report, but the guys said that they're seeing tilapia and bluegill off their docks and over by that boat ramp that's way in the back there, kind of towards the end. So I'm sure that there's some fish going on in there, just nobody's coming in to give us a good feedback, which would be nice if they would do once in a while. It's a beautiful area back there. I love going back in there. It's been a long time since I've trolled through there. As a kid, we used to put in that canoe and put it right there just off of 776, that first wide canal there, and go down and hit the lock and then sometimes go up into the lake.
All right. Let's see the west wall. Hang on just a second here. Let's see. Hey, the fishing. We've been talking about the west wall. We got Captain Mike Myers calls, and we're wondering, Mikey, have you heard anything about the west wall?
Not a whole lot. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of water on the west wall most of the time right now in this time of the year. So only the guys in super skinny boats are even attempting it.
All right. Well, where have you been?
Doing a lot of stuff: Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Catfish Creek, Widdens Creek area.
Okay, give me a Bull Bay, Turtle Bay thing here.
The open areas in Turtle Bay and Bull Bay are loaded with trout. I mean, there's plenty of trout for anybody. Popping corks, you know, with shrimp. Popping cork with a jig underneath it. You know, soft plastics. Pretty much whatever you want to throw at them. There's plenty of them there to eat whatever you want to throw. Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, both of them, they're about the same. Turtle Bay's a little bit easier because it's bigger, it's got more area. But, you know, just that's about the primary species. There are some redfish in there also, but again, it's one of those, you know, you kind of got to get there in the shallow water and they're in the pothole, so you got to, you know, trek that real shallow water to get to them. Again, you need a shallow water boat for that.
Yeah, I get that.
Is there a bunch of sheep's head in there still?
There are some sheep head. There's sheep head on the bar.
Do you recognize that voice, Mr. Captain Mike Myers?
I did not. I thought that was you.
That was not me. Hang on just a minute. let me readjust here.
No, that's normal.
How's that?
That's just normal. We always get that.
Okay.
Same with answering the phone. I'm you, you're me.
All right. Yeah, well, anyway, that was Robert.
I heard that.
The reason you got the thing is because you were texting him, so I said, okay, he's texting, I can call him.
Yeah, we're going fishing tomorrow as soon as you let him off the hook for working.
All right. Now, what were you just talking about, sheephead where?
There's sheephead on the bars, and there's also some on that little oyster bar that's about halfway in the, kind of dead in the middle of Turtle Bay there. Little canal mouth, they're all having quite a few sheephead, so any little deeper troughs will have them in there. It's not somewhere that I would choose to fish for them personally. I mean, I'd much rather go under docks and phosphate dock and the artificial reefs. But
have you been out by the Cape Hayes Reef at all?
No, I don't really fish Cape Hayes Reef.
Okay.
I never really have.
You been up in Gasparilla Sound at all?
Absolutely. Yeah, the pilings, the bridge pilings, the wooden trussle pilings are...
Are you talking about Placida?
Yeah.
Okay, let me work down the Placida. All right, Placida. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you can find a piece of wood to fish on, you're lucky. You better get there early because the sheep setters are out there by the truckloads. So good luck with that one.
You catching them on shrimp mostly?
From what I can tell, I mean, all I'm using is shrimp. But you know, you got the barnacle scrapers out there and the guys with their little tricks. The sheep, you know, the real sheep headers are out there. But for the most part, all you need is shrimp. I like a jig head myself with a shrimp on it. But you can porgy rig them too. You can just pre-line one over to the wood if you want to. It's pretty much anybody you can get a shrimp to where those fish are, they're going to eat it.
Yeah, I just figured I'd call you. You didn't show up for band practice last night. And, you know, now you're talking about taking Robert fishing. So I just figured I'd call and harass you, make you work a little bit here. I know.
Are you recording this? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air. Okay. Yeah, I thought I kind of mentioned that.
Well, that's kind of why I went into my on-air voice there for a few minutes there instead of, you know.
Yes, and there's such a difference, you know. You go from Mike Myers right to Frank Sinatra, you know. It's like Mike Myers, Bing Crosby minute, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, I did not know I did that until Robert called me out in the studio one day. He just looks at me and goes, "How do you do that?" I'm like, "What?" So...
Yeah, no, we're doing an area fishing report for the radio fishing thing.
Awesome. Yeah, trying
but
to get
is
him.
Is he going tomorrow or not? He won't give straight answers on his text.
It's pretty hard to get out of here, man.
It's hard to get out during that time of day right now.
Unfortunately.
Well, that guy's got an owie. He's got an owie.
Three for all I care.
I had my tooth pulled.
I just need you for a couple hours.
I had my tooth pulled, so it's going to be a little rough going out on a boat.
Oh,
I had a
I'm a sissy.
I had a needle put through my eardrum.
Yeah, we're both doing
that's
good.
How work.
Exactly. Between the two of us,
you guys
have
five hanging out together. You're gonna start having the same problems pretty soon.
Yeah,
we're already synced, so you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Hopefully that one went by the kiddies. All right. Have you been out in the passes at all?
No, nah, I've kind of avoided the passes lately.
Anything out on the rocks
besides
or
the
reefs?
Dock. The wrecks and the reefs I'm on almost every day.
What do we got going on out there?
The sheep's head. Again, sheep's head and snappers. What is it? Novak and Trembly both have cobia on them. You know, one day they're on one day they're on the next. One day, God only knows where they went, but they're somewhere around. I've been running some traps. Not a whole lot of triple tail out there. When you do get lucky enough to find one, they're big, you know, they're like the last one I got was around 14, 15 pounds. But I ran miles and miles of traps to find one fish. So I don't know where they all ran and hid, but they definitely have ran and hid. So
where are all the fish at that should be around those shrimp boats that are out there? What's up with that?
That one's got me floored. The shrimp boats have been out there for a week and a half or so, and I went out numerous times to fish underneath them, and there is nothing. I don't understand it. Well, like normally, I go out there. There's sharks. There's something. There's, you know, kingfish. There's mackerel. There's God only knows what. But normally, there's just a ton of sharks.
That's what I'm hearing from multiple people. You know, they're seeing a few spinners or black tips launching in the air, oddball here and there. But
now, if you think you can change your voice, check this out.
You will literally let anybody on this radio show, won't you?
Oh,
literally
God.
Anybody at all.
He's just jealous.
Yes, deep and abiding jealousy.
Hey,
how you doing, Mike?
Twice this week I've been on that.
Josh
show.
Showed up for band practice. He wasn't a wuss. He's like a real guy. He's a real drummer, you know.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I had work to do, but you know what? I showed up anyway. So
I was taking a
snowflake
class last night, trying to advance my. My smarts. I'm trying to become as smart as Josh and Robert.
I
got a ways to go, but
to me, I just want to send you Play-Doh and puppies. That's all.
Yeah,
you know, petting puppy to calm yourself down. You could have been there and then gone and done your class.
That's fine. I mean, if you don't, I mean, it's good. If you can't make it a priority, I totally understand. You've got other things in your life that are way more important than us. I get it. I dig.
Whatever.
Anyway, we are talking about on the Gulf of Mexico. Have you heard any grouper out there?
Not close in. I do have some clients that have been sending me pictures of some nice red grouper out, you know, 80 to 120 foot. But nothing really close in too much, you know. I mean, there's a lot of throwbacks in that 50 to 70 foot range. And there's probably some keepers in there mixed in too, but it just seems a more consistent bite for, you know, if you're going to waste your money on going way out there for red grouper, you might as well go all the way out and catch the big boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, go that extra 15 miles or so, make it worthwhile. Yeah. That's where I've been hearing all the AJs have been, too, is out there in that 80 to 110 feet of water.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're out there after grouper, you may as well play with something serious.
Any permit or anything on any of the reefs out there?
Yeah, it's hit and miss, but when the permit are on some of the near shore reefs, they're actually schooled up heavier than I've ever seen them in January. They're new numbers I normally see in March and April. So, and they're big fish. These fish are the ones that I've only got a couple, but I've watched a few people catch some around me, and we're talking 15 to 25 pound fish. So they're decent for sure, but they're not consistent. It's not something that you can just go, I'm going out to this reef and going to catch those today.
Yeah, they're not targetable. They're just bycatch, and I'm hearing of them out there at literally the school bus to the boxcars to Trembley to Palm Island Ferry. It's just a matter of the timing and being ready for them when they do show up.
I had a client send me a picture or a little video clip of them out in the middle of nowhere. He was actually heading out to the boxcars, and they were just sitting out, and they were moving. He was following it probably 6 to 10 miles an hour, and they were moving that fast up on top, just going somewhere. He had no idea which way they were going.
That'd have been cool to see.
So, yeah.
You know, people don't realize. Actually, I caught
my very first one ever in my whole life was a scenario that worked out just exactly like that. I just saw, so I thought it was ladyfish or bluefish or something on top, and followed it, and it was a huge permit, and mine ended up weighing like 38 pounds. So.
That's awesome.
They do that. That's the only time I've ever seen it was when I caught that one, but at least I know they do it.
Yeah.
And if you get out on those wrecks, especially like right now with this winds, you know, died down like they are, you can see those fish up on top. They will come up and actually like almost suck air like a mullet does. You ever see how the mullet just stick their lips out of the water? I watched the permit do the exact same thing. So you'll see them thinning out there, and you'll see their mouth come up and like almost like they're sucking air.
I see ladyfish do that as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I've
only see it up in the Peace River. That's the only place I've ever heard it. Yeah, I've never seen it out in the harbor or in the Gulf or anything, but I've seen them do it up in the Peace River. I have no idea why.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, I know a lot of fish probably do that. Well, Carl, Judy and I were out on...
I think Carl does it too, I'm pretty sure Carl does that as well.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him, especially when the bite's not good. But he and I were on that huge school of... black drumfish, last year now, and they were doing kind of the same thing. They were up on top, and if you left them alone for 10 or 15 minutes, you could actually see them sucking air also. It is bizarre, and that was a huge squid. There were thousands of fish in that thing for about a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, anyway, I don't want to keep you. I know you are at work. Any last questions we have for Captain Mike Myers?
No, I'm pretty good.
No.
I think Josh should come in tomorrow and relieve Robert for 4 hours. He's got nothing else to do. He's not very busy anymore.
No, I've got nothing going on.
That was a little sharp. I thought there was maybe a touch of sarcasm in there.
Yeah, so, thanks.
Yes. All right. Well, anyway.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the invite, though.
I'm going to get your butt out there one of these days.
I know.
Well, tell you what,
it's always timing, and it never seems to work out for him or me.
If you get a day off next week, call. Maybe Robert and I will go.
That'd be awesome. I will absolutely put that in my calendar.
That would be pretty cool.
I'll just text you what day it'll be.
Yeah, I got a couple guys I can throw on the shift, I think.
That would be cool. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
All right, Mike. Well, you have yourself a good evening. Have fun at work. We'll see you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at about 1 minute till 7.
Maybe 1 minute after, depending on traffic.
I have not been late this year. So.
He's got a point.
Oh, this year. This whole year. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while. I, you know, so, anyway, well, we'll let you go, Mike. You have a good night.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks. All right.
Okay. Is there anything anybody wants to add to the Bull Bay Turtle Bay thing? I think we got that.
Yeah, I think we covered it pretty good.
All right. Cape Hayes Reef, anybody got anything?
Cape Hayes Reef has had some bigger bluefish on it. They're not great numbers, but they're in that like 3 to 5 pound range. And then the snapper have started to move on to it just a little bit with some sheep's head. So kind of getting a little mixed gamut out there. Just some of the guys aren't prepared for the bluefish as they come by and bite their line clean. But
just a swimming pair of scissors.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to describe them.
Out in the tailing flats, Gasparilla Sound, I know there's tons of ladyfish
throughout that whole area.
And,
yeah,
there's some trout out there.
There's some spinner / black tip sharks mixed in out there, especially on that deeper edge. And then as you move up along the bushes there, whether it's the little islands or the main shoreline in Wooden Bay there, there's a lot of sheep's head scattered throughout that whole area. And those are nicer sheep's head. Most of them are averaging in like that 13 to 18 inch range. I mean, there's some pretty quality fish in there. Some of the guys are confusing them with redfish, their tails sticking out of the water as they're grubbing around those roots and stuff. And then they get close and realize, hey, that redfish has stripes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little confusing to them.
It's better than a redfish with whiskers.
This is true. So, kind of neat.
All right. Let's see. Okay, corrected that spelling. All right. Placida trestle. Mike was talking about sheep head and using shrimp biting close to the bottom. Anything we can add to that?
I've had some pretty good flounder reports out there. Talked to some guys who are fluke fishermen up north, and they're super excited about the number of flounder that they're catching there. They just wish they were getting them a little bit bigger. You know, their average catch is 12, 13, 14 inches, which, you know, I had to explain to them, you're actually doing fairly well for flounder down here. If your average catch is that size, most guys are catching 10s.
Yeah.
So. But they're using fluke rigs, and they're also dragging cut bait across the bottom.
Yeah, they're actually targeting them. That Placida trestle area does hold quite a few, you know, flounder, but you've really kind of got to target them.
Yeah, you really got to fish for them to get them.
Yeah,
exactly.
We have Josh Olive, publisher, editor of the Waterline magazine, host of the Waterline radio show on Kix Country 92.9 every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock. And he's also the fishing coach.
And it's like you know who I am.
Yeah, I actually know. If you go to the Radio Fishing page, there's a link to the fishing coach there. And, Yeah, he's actually pretty damn good drummer.
Like I said, man of many hats.
Yeah, and now he sings and plays drums.
He's a whirly bird on top of it.
He's like
that's one of my favorites.
Mickey Dolenz, you know?
Well, this week I've been wearing an RV guy hat. I've been putting together our RV tab for the big show that's happening down in Fort Myers, so I've been kind of in that world. But fortunately, I'm done with that now, so I can switch back to what I much prefer, which is water-based stuff.
The only way I'm ever going to know about that again is if T ever throws me out of the house. If she says, okay, you're out of here, you're done, I can't put up with you no more, then I'll go back to the RV lifestyle.
Get yourself a nice Airstream.
No, I'll find something cheap and small. I don't need much. So I can always rent a storage unit to play guitar. All right. I can buy one of those trailers like I got out here.
Right.
Know, those big
That's
trailers.
Perfect.
Just put the band right in the trailer.
Yeah, maybe we should do that anyway.
I'm thinking about it, yeah. So, yeah, I got to do something. That little room was getting a little loud last night. I figured out it wasn't so much the needle through my eardrum and the bandages on it. It was, we were a little louder than normal, so the sound was going from Morris's side over to the wall and back
bouncing
to me.
Back over to you.
Yeah.
And
yep. Morris was hearing himself, you know, there, because it was, but I kept hearing twice Morris and twice you, and I was standing right in the middle. You know, we got to move that around. So anyway,
I think I was just threatened.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure what that was. It's a big smile, but it was. Oh yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about him sometime.
All right. Well, we're
my
talking
dad
about.
My dad went down to the Fort Myers shop and met Greg.
Really?
So yeah.
I don't know if I've met him, haven't I? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember if you have or not.
I have no idea.
He's not the most sociable guy. He just is.
Oh, he's perfect. Talk to Greg then. Right on there. Yep. Okay. They ought to get along just fine.
Yeah, I think they got along great.
So, good. All right. Anyway, we got Lemon Bay. We're talking about.
Lemon Bay's got some trout in it, especially in those deeper edges right along the ICW. That 3 to 5 feet of water just slow crawling a shrimp right along the bottom, either on a jig head or a split shot with your hook. And then a lot of the docks on the east side are holding a few redfish, a couple flounder, some bigger mangrove snapper. But you just got to work everything real slow right now. Even though the water temperatures come up, those fish are still kind of preferring it slow. You know, I'm not sure what that's all about, but it's kind of interesting that they're staying with that same pattern compared to everything else.
I know there's stuff going on. Luckily, I'm deaf and I've got
it's
headphones
all right.
on.
Don't worry about it. Okay. You're fine.
all right. Anyway.
Fair number of rat reds coming out of there. Not massive numbers, but enough that it's worth going out there and, you know, hoping to catch some while you're trout fishing. I've also talked to some guys who said they were skipping pompano. No successful reports of actually catching them, but a few random fish skipping back behind the boat as they're going over shallow areas.
Really?
That's always pretty cool. And they should be around right now with that water, the way it's been, even though it's been fluctuating up and down. This is usually the time of year when the pompano should be pretty heavy.
We got anything about Tom Adams Bridge, the pier fishing there?
I honestly have not heard a good report this week.
I've talked to guys who are catching, but it's been all little stuff. You know, little sheep's head, bunch of little mangrove snapper, little bait-pecking pinfish, that kind of stuff. Nothing that they were real excited about.
Well, at least it's a report. Yeah. I haven't heard anything this week. Usually I hear several reports there, but I have not heard anything yet this week.
Well, a lot of guys don't brag when that's what they catch.
Well, that's true. But usually they grow because it's a,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Your 8-inch mangrove snapper becomes an 18-inch mangrove snapper.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you hold it just right for the camera. Bill Dance it.
Is there anything going on in any of the passes? Venice, Stump Pass, Little Gasparilla, Redfish, Captiva?
Up towards Venice, I've had some pretty good things that I've been told anyway. I haven't been fishing it, but I've been hearing about some larger bluefish up there, fish pushing the 5-pound range, which it's pretty good bluefish for down here. There have been some bonita off the pass, not like in the pass, but maybe a mile or so out. And the sheep's head reports down on the rocks have also been pretty good from the guys who know what they're doing. It's always going to be a mixed bag down there with guys who catch nothing but rocks and guys who understand how to keep their bait out of the rocks but still keep it in front of the fish, and they actually catch some fish.
Yeah. The fun part is always fighting the guy for the rocker when you turn around to rebait your hook and some guy's trying to hip check you off that spot.
Yep.
Had a guy in the other day who was complaining about that.
What's really weird is you sit there and you catch a fish out of one spot, and this guy down the way walks up and tries to cast right where you were getting.
Yeah.
Like,
That's where the fish are. That's the only spot is right where you were.
Right.
Yeah, that always kind of astounded me. I've never understood doing stuff like that.
Yeah, not a bit.
I figure if they can do it there, I can do it 10 feet over here. I just got to figure out what they're doing, not where they're doing it.
Right. And cane poling it makes it a lot easier to catch those sheep's head down there.
Yeah. We do have Calcutta poles for sale.
Get that more leverage, bring the fish up to you rather than standing out on those shaky rocks and maybe falling in. And
yeah. We got Calcutta poles. No problem with that. And Calcutta poles are a bamboo pole that come from India. They dig a giant hole in the ground and they throw all these bamboo in there and cover the whole thing up with elephant poop and dig them up. And after a few months, and then they last. And if you start drying it out and you don't happen to have elephant poop laying around, you can always use tongue oil or linseed oil and just paint it on to keep it supple and working good. If they dry out, then they get brittle like any other bamboo.
Right. Now, do you have a source for elephant poop in the area?
No. Ringling went out of business, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of elephants in this area. I'm sure if I went out to the, because we have that big animal nursery refuge thing out there on the Peace River, and I'm sure there's a bunch of elephants.
I'm sure they probably have some elephant poop
and
available.
I'll bet
if I
went down, I could probably get some elephant poop for you.
They're
I
also
haven't been out there since before the hurricane. Before the hurricane, they had so many animals out there. It was unbelievable, the different kinds of animals.
Yeah.
Did they put that back out there, Robert? Do you know?
Supposedly, yeah. It's still there.
Yeah, because there was animals from zoos and all these other places that need care. You know, something's wrong with them. They
rehabilitation them kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, rehabilitation. It's a
Retirement community.
Yeah, it's retirement for the animals who can't do whatever animals do wherever they were doing it.
Is that facility affiliated with Busch Gardens?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Also heard some guys catching some little snook out there at Venice, but not really worth targeting. And you know,
all right. Well, if you're just walking along the beach, standing on the shore, anybody got anything?
A lot of whiting. Hearing a lot of good reports of whiting just about everywhere from Venice all the way down to Sanibel, for that matter. You know, and they're pretty good size whiting, you know, 1/2 pound to 3/4 pound, which,
okay,
you know, for table fare, they're a good time. Or if you're just having a good time with an ultralight, they're even a blast with that. Just most people bring a bazooka to a knife fight, weren't those guys?
Sharks?
I have not heard of any
bonnets, anything along the beaches.
I've heard of some larger sharks caught out there, no black tips or bonnets, but some sandbars.
Where at for the sandbars?
Minnesota. They weren't specific on location.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it could be anywhere along Inglewood Beach or north of there. I know that some guys like to fish out of the Stump Pass area. I haven't heard anything down in Boca.
Just the first reports I've heard of a sandbar, because it's been so warm and the mullet never really ran. You know, that red tide kept them inside in the intercoastal all the way up to Manatee. So didn't have a chance for those fish to really move in good. So it's just
they caught
super
two.
Inconsistent numbers.
They caught two overnight.
That's cool. That's a good thing to hear. You know, always like that.
Ponarasa, Sanibel, anything down there?
Crickets.
Yeah,
no. I have not heard anything accurate at all down there since just before that cold front, really.
I should get a hold of Matt and find out what's going on down there. Matt Lachey, anybody heard anything?
Matt Lachey's got a lot of sheep's head on it right there off the bridge itself. And then all in the immediate vicinity, I've been getting some guys getting some sheep's head and a few small redfish in some of those deeper sand holes and around some of the oyster patches throughout there. Other than that, it's been kind of quiet. I haven't heard much for trout. They should be catching some trout there, but...
Yeah. No, I talked to some guys who were catching them a little bit north of Matt Lachey in the Indian Field, Buzzard Bay area.
Mm-hmm. That's always a good area. It's a beautiful area.
It is. And so few people fish it.
I know.
You know, a lot of people will focus on Matt Lachey or focus on Burnt Store, but they never go north of Matt Lachey or south of Burnt Store to get to that area.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those little, I don't know, isolated pockets. It's too far for this and too far for that.
Yep, just gets overlooked.
And you said Indian Fields and what?
Buzzard Bay.
It's just kind of funny because that whole area is just, I've only been down there a handful of times, but it's a really pretty area. And it's amazing how deep some of those cuts are underneath those mangrove bushes there. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of those spots are 3 and 4 foot deep.
Yep.
You know, and you'd never know it unless you actually pulled up right on it when it's a nice, clean, clear water day, and you'd be like, wow, that's a pretty deep depression underneath that mangrove.
Yep. I think I'll come back when the tide's really low.
Right, exactly. Pretty impressive. First time I got a tour down there, actually, it was with Danny. He was showing me all these different little cut-throughs and some of these deeper pockets.
All right, wait a minute. How do you spell Fields?
F.
I-E-L-D-S.
I-E-L-D-E-E.
Okay, got it.
S-M.
Thank you. Thank you. I got it. I couldn't do it, and then I asked you, and all of a sudden there it went. All right. Hey, Fish and Frank, nobody said a damn word about paperwork, spelling
Frank. Right, no spelling Frank,
yeah,
I get you.
I remember, okay, I'll be Fishing Frank. I don't remember part of typing Frank. Okay. Pine Island Sound out on the outside. What's going on out there?
A lot of bigger trout. Those bigger trout are in those deeper holes and some of those little cut-throughs going from the mainland out towards the intercoastal. Shrimp, again, is the best thing. A couple of guys have been actually catching some bigger ones on the rattle traps and mixing that in with a couple of ladyfish and bluefish mixed in with them. So it's been not too terribly bad. But it's definitely about going slow through that whole area right now.
And I've been hearing, besides the trout out there?
I've been hearing little sharks down there, bonnets and small black tips, in pretty shallow finning.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there has been some pretty darn low water these last couple weeks, so that doesn't surprise me to be able to sit there and watch some of those fish moving around on those flats.
Yep. And also puffers, lots and lots of puffers.
Yeah. Banner year for puffers. I know they're pretty bad every year, but this year seems to be like a little bit more of an exception.
Sea squab, buddy.
Sea squab, yeah. Yeah.
I'm,
or what are they, fugu?
No, these aren't fugu puffers. These are sea squab puffers. Fugu puffers that give you the tingle. They need to have a little bit more tetrodotoxin than these guys have. These guys are barely poisonous.
So, theoretically, we could, you know, eat these without dying.
Yeah,
just
I strongly recommend not eating the skin or the gonads. And as long as you're taking those things off before you cook it, you should be fine.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, yes, theoretically.
I can probably tell you with certainty, I'm an old white guy who was raised on Wonder Bread, mayonnaise, and potatoes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Chance of me eating the gonads out of a fish are so slim, you can't even begin to imagine how slight that chance is.
I'm need sorry. A supercomputer to calculate those odds?
Yes, I can honestly tell you the chances that this white boy is going to be, you know, no. I've eaten a lot of things over the years, traveling around the world and doing stuff. And, you know, when you're a guest, you don't want to be rude. So I have eaten, as the honored guest, the eyeballs from fish and whole fish soups and stuff like that. But to actually target where I have an option, puffer gonads, don't think it's going to happen, okay? So, I don't know. Our listeners might really enjoy puffer gonads. I don't know.
Well, they might. I strongly recommend against it.
Yes.
So if you want to eat gonads, eat bluefish gonads. Those are harmless.
Gotcha. Okay.
Talk about going way left,
Robert. That's exactly where it went. Okay. All right. Boquilla, Jug Creek, Shoals. Anything up there?
A lot of trout scattered around there with some bluefish. Going back to Josh's puffer fish, obviously. There's also like an extreme amount of pinfish in there that are just wreaking havoc on anybody's bait that they're throwing on the bottom. Which can work for you, believe it or not. Everyone gets frustrated because they go through more shrimp.
Me.
Right.
Throw a bait out like piranha, you know?
Yeah.
But
they work good for helping you, you know, kind of chumming the water and getting things excited.
And it's okay if I've got a chunk of ladyfish out there where it can last more than, you know, 6 seconds. If you take and put a chunk of ladyfish or something out there, and those pinfish all kind of wobble around it, beating it up, and that'll attract a bigger fish to find out what's eating, you know, what's going on. But
right. The
shrimp, it's just pick, 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 gone.
Yeah.
Need a bigger shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Lobster.
Burnt store, Two Pines.
Well, some of the guys have been waiting down there and getting into a couple oddball redfish with a few flounder. And then the trout mostly have been small right in that immediate area that I've been hearing about. But it's been a little exceptionally quiet this past week compared to normal down there, and I'm not sure really why.
I got to tell you, we went out and waded out there Sunday, and it was just, I mean, it was a beautiful day out there, but it was not the fishiest day we've ever had. We ended up hooking...
Who were you with?
Jeff Connor and a buddy of his. We ended up hooking a redfish all day long.
A redfish.
Saw a lot of mullet. There's a great abundance of mullet down there, and we did see some unidentified predatory fish working the outside of the bar where we couldn't get to. I'm assuming that they were jacks or ladyfish, and those looked to be pretty abundant. But on the inside, it was quiet, way too quiet. We ran across another couple people who were out fishing, and We did not get close enough to talk to them face to face, but we could hear them grumbling about their lack of luck as well.
Gotcha. So. All right, takes us up to the east side. Robert,
lots.
Josh, the fishing coach. Robert, the man who has the answer to the east side dilemma.
I was just going to let Robert get started, and then okay. I was going to jump in afterwards if there was all anything right. left. So,
really? At least I can get a word in edgewise here sometimes compared to the other one.
Well, don't point those scissors at me.
It's dull scissors. You'll be all right. It takes multiple stabs to actually inflict anything.
It's like the great thing about radio fishing. You know, we sit down to do a show. Somebody walks through the door. There's a phone call. You know, I just never know where it's going to go. It's, you know, this show kind of defines my life. Don't point those scissors at me. Okay. All right, east side.
It paints a picture. Settle down.
Yeah, it paints a picture. I have pictures.
East side's been the most active compared to the majority of the harbor. There's been redfish scattered all up and down the whole thing, legal size redfish to a lot of little rat reds, especially in the creeks. There's been a few oddball pompano out on the bar, a lot of trout on top of the flat and on the outside edge of the bar, a few bonnet heads here and there, even heard of a couple cobia. You know, and everyone's pretty much using shrimp for the most part over there and doing very, very well on them. It's just a mixed gamut of stuff. Plus, we've actually had a lot of guys throwing some soft plastics over there. And I think the color these past couple of weeks that seems to be gaining momentum is that Texas chicken, electric chicken, funky chicken, anything that has chicken in it and it's going to have some kind of pink and green color, and it has been selling a lot of lately. It's been kind of surprising.
I think one of those chicken colors is chicken on a chain. I don't think that one has the pink in it.
No, that one has more of a purplish color to it.
So make sure you're not getting chicken on a chain.
Yeah.
Look for pink.
Yeah.
Green and pink colors.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that you left out, and I know that because the snook are outside of season, you don't like to talk about them too much, but there have been too many fish up in that area to just not discuss it at all. Some really nice snook laying out there on the flats, warming up. Early in the mornings and in the afternoons, some guys are still catching them, just hanging out on the edges of potholes. But the number of fish that they've been seeing out there that are 36 to 44 has been pretty impressive.
That's not a bad thing.
And they like those soft plastics too. They're right. All eating smaller stuff, so throwing a little DOA shad tail is great. Stepping it up to something too big and they'll probably ignore it.
It's not a bad thing. I just don't like to mention them when they're closed because
I know
some people like to take them when they shouldn't.
I know. Some people are.
As long as you handle a snook with wet hands, you've got like 90, in the very, very high 90s catch and release.
It just reduces the pirates. That's all I'm concerned about. So many people feel this sense of entitlement. Like I was talking to a guy at Circle K. He wanted to catch a snook in his backyard because he was so frustrated with it swimming by all the time. I asked if we had pinfish and blah, blah, blah. He says, yeah, if I catch them, I'm going to fillet it. I'm like, I looked at him, so you have kids? Well, yeah. I said, do you not want them to enjoy the same future that you
have? No, because they're really lousy kids. I mean, I've met that guy's kids. I wouldn't want them to be able to go fishing either. That would just, you know, why waste it on them? I don't know who the guy is.
But I told him, I said, you know, why would you do that? You know, don't you want your kids to have the same fun and experience that you had growing up? Well, are they catching any redfish anywhere else or some sheep's head? He quickly changed the subject.
Yeah, I know.
You know, went about something else, and it was just like...
It has nothing at all to do with the law.
Yeah.
It has to do with saving a little bit for the next person, like we were talking about earlier. You know, moving aside, making a little room for other people, just taking a half a second or a few feet out of your day to make somebody else's life a little better is a great thing. And not keeping a fish when it's out of season... annoying, and for the most part, you know, it's not really going to make a difference. But what it does do is give us a better guarantee that our kids and my kids and grandkids are going to be able to enjoy what I enjoyed. And that's the reason we do it, is for the next generation. Not because it's going to make it better or worse this week or next month, you know.
Right. So. Absolutely.
All right, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut. We're nearing the end.
Trout are finally starting to move a little bit into the mouth and the channel, but they're doing some dredge work over there. So be careful kind of navigating in and out of there. I had a customer hit a pipe that broke loose and destroyed his lower unit. He was a little upset the other day with that. He had like one of those really horrible fishing days. His reel broke. His boat broke. They had to go back to the dock and switch boats with his buddy. You know, he was telling me the whole nightmare.
at that point, I'm pretty much going to give up, go to the house, hit a couple of fireballs, a nice bit of, you know, Captain Morgan Ultra Smooth Special Cut Black Rum, and wait for the day to go away. You know?
He was bound and determined to make it a good day, so he still went out and gave it heck and tried. He caught a few fish, but...
And I admire him for it. I'm just saying, I can't even do that anymore. It's like, okay, never mind, I'm going to go home. You know, alcohol up a little bit, put on the headphones, and play bass the rest of the night.
Exactly.
I talked to a woman who said that she and her husband went out of there, and they caught a couple triple tail on the channel markers out there.
Wow, that's a very cool thing.
Keep your eyes peeled. They could be any place.
Yeah, triple tail are very notorious for showing up in some of the most obvious places, and people just blow right past them.
Yep.
But look at all the fish that we find at different spots close to boat ramps, and people pull out and go hauling butt past them, and they look at you like you're weird when you're fishing literally 200 yards away from the boat ramp and you catch a lot of fish. And
right. What happened? Your motor broke?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had two spots that were right up in the main part of the harbor that I used to fish, and it was some of the most amazing fishing I've ever encountered anywhere in the harbor. And you could literally see, I mean, if you were standing on shore, you could have seen us, and nobody ever went there fishing. I fished there on and off the whole time I was doing charters, and it literally amazing fish we caught, and nobody ever bothered to stop and see why I was sitting there, you know, just kind of, you know, there in the harbor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It was great, you know. And they can go, oh, what the heck's that guy doing that? There ain't no fish over there. Yeah, you're right.
Nope.
Yep.
Been some decent stacks of sheep's head up in the creek too, along the docks and along the seawall. Been talking to some people who are getting very frustrated by them though, saying that they couldn't get them to bite. I don't know why they couldn't get them to bite. I don't know if it just was not a preferential tide or if they were throwing something weird at them, but they said that they were having trouble with getting them to eat anything. But they had no problem catching catfish.
Nice. Plenty of those around. And a guy got horned by one right in his foot. It fell off the hook as he was reaching for it. He said it was a glancing blow, but he said it hurt like nobody's business.
That's all it takes.
You know,
you're lucky.
What are those things? $14-16 for those grippers.
Yeah.
I hold them over the side of the boat. When their belly comes, I grab them with that gripper, take my pliers out, pop the hook out. I like doing like bongos on the top of their head because it's hollow. It makes a really cool noise.
Right.
With the tap, you know, with the top of my pliers. I know I don't do that. I don't go dum, 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 on the top of their head and let them go. I won't do that. No, I never do that.
just don't do it with the pliers. Do it with your fingers. Just get a little catfish slime on them where he can't stick you, and just, you know, little.
It's a little more fun when it goes. It makes a really cool sound. But I wouldn't do that because I would never harm an animal for no reason.
Well, that would be random catfish abuse.
Yeah, so. But I don't think you could hurt them if you did. Yeah. I don't know how you could hurt one of those things. But anyway, PGI Canals, Ponce de Leon Park in particular, anything on Ponce?
Ponce has been a little slow. There's been a few mangrove snapper in there, but they've been mainly in like that 8 to 10 inch range. I've heard of a few black drum coming through there. I guess they've been getting really vocal the last few days because I've had several customers come in and ask about, like, is there alligators in the canal and are they mating this time of year? Because I'm hearing some grumbling and thumping and stuff. You know, so that's kind of interesting. The jacks are still coming through there fairly sporadically. Other than that, it's been kind of quiet really for Ponce de Leon, you know.
Yeah, I've heard a few redfish and trout out on the flat in front of it, but not so much with the channel on the inside.
Yeah, that flat out front can be super, super fishy at times, especially for guys that are willing to be a little patient and wade out there.
Yeah, it hadn't been super fishy, but there's been some catching going on.
There you go.
All right, back up in the canals of PGI, anybody?
A lot of juvenile tarpon up inside there. I mean, guys are coming in here every day asking how to catch them. getting frustrated because they've thrown everything but a hand grenade or the kitchen sink at them. And then the snook activity's been pretty good on the lights at night. But the weird part is there's been some fish, and two different people have come in two different canal systems that say the snook have been getting pushed off of their lights by some fish that are kind of unidentifiable because they're staying down deeper.
I wonder if it's Goliaths. Goliaths have been a little bit more active. I've heard more about those fish since the mullet kill than I'd been hearing in a while up there in the canals.
Well, and that was kind of my thought. I think it really ate into their food source, and now they're going out looking for something else to eat.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bit surprising because, yeah, these people are talking about some fish that are, you know, pushing 3 feet long, but usually they're saying that there's several of them together, not just one.
But which is Goliath do that. And when they're small, they bunch up. It's not uncommon to have a bunch of Goliath, and that holds true until they get around 50 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. They're like red grouper, you know, where a lot of times you can see several in a bunch.
Right.
But as they get bigger, they separate more. Right. Goliath are the same way. They don't become solitary as much until they hit that, you know, 40, 50 pound range.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, gags will do the same thing out on the flats when they're little.
Exactly.
Get them up
the same
to about
thing.
12 inches long or so. They're almost a schooling fish.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, that could be very well a possibility that's kind of poking those fish out of there. And then there's still a bunch of big jacks up inside there, too, from 5 to 12 pounds. I mean, I've seen some pretty impressive pictures of some jacks here in the last, well, off and on, really, for the past couple of weeks. They seem to be staying pretty consistent up inside there. Most of the bigger jacks seem to be coming from guys that are trolling on their way in or out of the canals versus the guys that are casting at some of the ones that are blitzing on the surface seem to be catching the few smaller ones that are just a little bit more aggressive and agile, I guess, or just dumber.
I like dumber.
Okay. Anything go across pier?
I have not heard anything lately at all there, to be honest.
I heard of one small bull shark caught up there. That's it.
Hey, that's more than I've heard in quite a while. Gilcrest has been weird. Ever since they redid that seawall, as beautiful as that whole situation is there, it's kind of been weird with the lack of fishermen. And I'm not sure what that's about.
Yeah, well, Alligator Creek Reef. Anything out by the reef?
Lots of sheep's head. And they are scattered up and down the whole thing, so it's not like one particular section. Guys are fishing it pretty heavy and doing well on sheep's head. A few mangrove snapper and a few cobia, but most of the cobia come on off of it have been undersized. But still fun to bend the rod. I mean, a 30-inch cobia will still put a pretty good hurting on you.
Definitely. On the right rod, anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And most of these guys are using smaller rods out there, so they're having a riot with it. But the sheep's head have definitely been kind of the big to-do lately in the last several days out there.
I've heard a couple of gag grouper also.
Yeah.
One of them would have been a keeper if season were still open.
Really? There you go. I know there's a lot of them on there at times. You know, Frank showed me how to do that, trolling around out there and pick them up. It's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it works us out to the deep holes. Any reports out there?
All the catfish you want. If catfish are on your agenda for fish to catch, that's definitely the place to be. There's been a few bluefish out there, but other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Okay. How about freshwater? Have we heard anything on freshwater?
No. The freshwater guys have been coming in and going, but I haven't had any super phenomenal, you know, feedback on it.
They're catching. It just hasn't been on fire. You know, guys who are going out,
it's just that nice slow study.
They're hoping to catch, you know, 24 crappie like they did last year. They're not finding 24 crappie. They're finding 3 or 4. So they're a little disappointed, but they're still catching fish.
Well, it's not too bad.
It's nothing worth complaining about. It's just, you know, not lighting up the world.
And I've heard some of the areas where the bass are actually going on to a second spawn. Yeah, that's been kind of the big to-do lately.
Still some good tilapia out there, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one thing that we've been hearing a lot of guys fishing for lately and actually catching them is the tilapia.
Spell that.
T-I-L-A-P-I-A.
They're catching them on the worms, they're catching them on minnows, and then a handful of guys are catching them on the little inline spinners. Doing fairly well on them. It's like they're in that aggressive mode. I don't know. They spawn multiple times during the year.
They do. They're not really limited to a certain time of spawning. As long as the water's not too cold, they can pretty much spawn at will, and the water is not too cold for them to do it. So, okay. You can really get them going though if you want to chum them into an area, throwing little bits of bread. You know, you don't have to have, you know, something that costs, you know, $4 for a cup. I mean, stale bread is cheap,
right?
And you can get those things fired up with that. And sometimes I like to chum them with bread just to get them into an area and then throw a worm out there, because when you're throwing out little bits of bread on your hooks, then, again, just like with the pinfish situation, you've got all these little things that are coming up and nibbling that off of there. But with a worm, you know you're going to catch something decent size.
The other trick to that is, if I know I'm going tilapia fishing, I will take those Eagle Claw snelled hooks, the number 6, and I will take a tiny bit of wet cat food. Fish flavored cat food, put it with the bread, make dough balls, put them on the hook, and then let them dry out so they'll stay on the hook when I cast. And then I'll put a snap on, so I can just put one on and toss it out, and the other one, but I'll have, you know, like 6 or 10 of those made up ahead of time, and then you can chum with the bread and you can throw your bobber out with that dough ball on there that has that little bit of cat food mixed into it.
Right.
But if you're chumming with bread, you can just do the dough balls out of bread. But I kind of mush them up, get them on the hook, and I let them dry out so that when I cast, they don't fall off the hook. They hit the water, they get wet. As long as you don't move the bobber, the bread will stay on there long enough to get a hit. But you cannot move the bobber.
Right.
You move it once, your bait's gone.
Well, and the problem with the dough balls is some of the canals that we have out here, the populations of jewel cichlids have gotten so thick. And those things they're very aggressive. Anything that is going to be fish-flavored, they'll come after it.
Right.
They'll even go after the plain dough balls.
But they're good eating, though, too.
The jewel cichlids?
Aren't they?
They're too small to catch. Your average jewel cichlid is going to be 2.5 to 3.5 inches.
Yeah, that little tiny thing. I was thinking of the Mayan cichlids.
No, not the Mayans. If it were Mayans, hey, I'd have no problem with that.
Right.
That'd be great. But the jewels, they're the pinfish of the canals.
Yeah, and there's gazillions of them.
Bajillions.
They're pretty, though.
Maybe even quintillions.
But really? They're pretty.
They are.
Didn't you hear Robert?
I did hear. They are. They're gorgeous and they're wonderful. Catch them all, put them in your aquariums, and watch them kill each other.
Yeah, put them in your aquarium and just get a little short on food one day.
Yeah.
You'll have one less.
Yes, you will.
All right. Do we have any bait reports? Pinfish at Boquilla?
Pretty much just about everywhere from Pirate Harbor out. There's a abundance of pinfish out there right now, more so than normal for this time of year. I think normally this time of year the water is so cool that those fish move out into that deeper water in that 10-12 foot range or deeper, but because it's so warm, they are literally scattered all over the place. And
have we heard about any white bait anywhere?
I've heard about some smaller schools down in the St. James City area, but I only know one person crazy enough to go after them this time of year.
Yeah. He's the same one that likes to catch the snook this time of year.
Yeah.
Now, whitebait's been a little on the tricky side. A handful of guys are finding it, but they, you know, it's so tricky to find this time of year. And that's pretty much the only thing that's hitting it anyway is the little peanut snook.
No, actually, a couple of people have said the whitebait's starting to work pretty good. That water bumped up a couple of degrees, and they're using them on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know several of the captains going out of Burnt Store and all that, talking to them, and they're hitting whitebait, which means they're going to, they haven't said it, but I can tell you, if those guys are getting it, it's somewhere around Boquilla.
Yeah.
I would say. But.
Well, I'm just going by the idea that I know that Danny's been in here the last 3 mornings in a row getting shrimp.
Because they say that shrimp is the key, but then you go down. Talking to Fish this morning, he said, you know, you got to have shrimp with you, because if you don't have shrimp, you'll be sitting there, you throw a whitebait out, nothing happens. You throw the shrimp out, you get all the fish you want, but then you go down the shore or around the corner of the island and you throw the shrimp out, nothing. Then you throw the whitebait and they're hitting it.
Gotcha.
It's one of those where you're kind of going to need both or
period.
Keep moving spot to spot, because one spot, they're all eating the shrimp. He said, but if you just want to eliminate all that, net a bunch of pinfish because they're hitting it everywhere.
Well, there you go.
So
that sounds like a lot less work anyway.
Yeah, well, I just report it. I report you fish, okay?
There you go.
All right. No, I haven't been watching one channel a lot.
No, not at all.
All right. Let's see. Is there anything we didn't go over? We have our panel here for discretionary and proper reporting. So we have our offshore guy, our inshore guy. We don't want to leave anybody out. We want this to be, you know, proper and discretionary. So anything
what
we did
even
leave out.
What are you talking about?
When would I know? Who would have told me what I was going to talk about?
I don't know. You lost me a few minutes ago.
Okay.
No, I think we pretty much covered most of it. I mean, take advantage of the nice weather for the next couple of days. We've got that front moving in through the weekend, so it might be a little sketchy for the next 3 or 4 days. But, you know, still enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, and then looking out at the longer-term forecast, we're expecting another cool down, not a huge amount, but 10 degrees at night and 5 degrees in the daytime. So that'll make a difference.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Josh, you might as well get some things in about the Fish Coach. And
Fish Coach? Fish Coach is an educational service which I provide. It's
an educational service.
Thank you, Frank. It is very different from a fishing charter, which I get a lot of calls from people who basically do want to go on fishing charters, and they want to go out and catch a bunch of fish, and that's super cool. A bunch of charter guides here in town who can help you out with that. What I do is I teach people how to fish. I teach people nuts and bolts, basic information. Everything from getting the right tackles, some of the stuff we do here in the shop like
Robert
that.
Robert doesn't want to do it with me. You want to come out and help me see if I can get that boat going?
What boat?
The skiff, the little one. I got a new battery for it. I got to put the new battery in.
Do we have to do that right in a second?
Drive it. No, I won't sometime.
Oh, yeah, I would love to do that. Just not right this second.
All right. I was going to do it today, and Robert said he don't want to do it. And I said, I'm taking the trolling motor, so if we have to paddle back, I can use the motor.
Right.
Last time I took it out, I had to paddle back. So anyway, so you were talking about people want to hire you for charters, but you're not doing charters. You're
I don't
doing
do charters. I do teaching, and it's everything from, like I said, stuff we do in here in the shop, showing people the right tackle to use, showing them the right rigs, the knots, how to tie that, choosing all the right gear, and then going out on the water and actually seeing how to go about finding fish, how to go about catching fish, everywhere from the flats out to offshore.
And you can meet Josh here at the store Saturday afternoons and kind of get a leg up on that. We teach people to tie knots here every day of the week. All you have to do is ask us. We'll help you with your knots. But if you want to, you know, hire Josh as your fishing coach, you can also meet him at the store. He can walk you through the store, explain what the different lures, rigs, hooks, baits, and all that are for, and what they do, and all that, and about different tackle. And then, you know, go out and he'll teach you how to do the casting and the fishing and all that other kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And you can check that out at fishcoach.net. And then, of course, we have the radio show, Radio Waterline, that we do Saturday mornings, as you so aptly put earlier, from 7 to 9 on Kix Country 92.9 FM. That's me and Robert and Captain Mike. So you can check that out. And if you haven't been listening to it, that's okay, because we have every show that we ever did at RadioWaterline.com. And then, of course, there's also Waterline Magazine, which you should have been reading. It comes out every Thursday as part of the Charlotte Sun. But if you haven't been reading, again, we have back issues online. Go to BoatingAndFishing.com, and you can check it out there.
You know, it would be cool if on the RadioWaterline.com you could have your radio shows and then the months, you know, issue of the that week's issue of the magazine, so they could go to RadioWaterline.com and see them both.
You could do that, except that the way that my magazine website works, and I didn't set this up this way, it's all click-based. So when you go to the website, it's not like you're going to a specific link for that week's magazine, so there's no way for me to copy and paste a link onto that.
Gotcha.
You have to physically go there and click it in order to see it.
Because they want to charge people by the click.
Well, there's no charging
for the advertisers
yeah.
Get charged by the click.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
I don't know. It's some kind of hocus pocus magic crap.
I don't have any ads on my stuff. Nobody wants to pay to be on my stuff. Why would you? You know? I wouldn't pay to be on my stuff. In fact, I don't think I pay. Actually, I do pay.
You must be paying something,
I'm paying actually quite a bit. So, anyway, Robert, anything else we got to go over?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
All right, let's see. You want to say goodbye, Josh?
Goodbye, Josh.
Josh Olives and Robert, the one, the only, the Robert. There can be only one.
Thank God. It'd be a royal pain in the butt if I was two.
There was something.
Nobody going to go there with that one either. There's no
so
disagreement. There's
so
no
close.
Hey, the door is kicked wide open. Come on.
And this is Fish and Frank here in the chair. Yeah, the man, the myth, the walk around living legend type person. God. Anyway, yeah. When did I get famous? It happened one day. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I am Fish and Frank. Yes, Virginia, there is a Fish and Frank. That's me. And thanks for listening to Radio Fishin'.